It's not just central banks that are cutting rates or are going to be. Banks are already doing it too. Now, it's just a few right now, but a couple of key examples, including one that you'll likely recognize. Goldman Sachs Group Inc.'s consumer bank, Marcus, lowered the rate on its high-yield savings account for the first time in more than 3 years, as investors are laser-focused on when the Federal Reserve will cut its lending benchmark. The bank's flagship product now offers a 4.4% annual percentage yield, down from 4.5% in March. It's the first cut since November 2020, when Goldman lowered the rate from 0.6% to 0.5%, according to Bankrate. And in a competitive marketplace, Goldman must be thinking, we're just the first, and that everyone else is going to be following along in the same way. Which raises the question, why would banks be cutting their deposit rates? Well, the easy answer is because they know the Federal Reserve is likely, very likely, to be cutting rates. Which only begs another question, why would the Federal Reserve be cutting rates? Because if as the narrative assumes, everything is absolutely awesome right now, the economy's in a no-landing scenario that we hear every year, then why would the central bank actually cut rates at all? In fact, one central banker, Neil Kashkari from Minnesota, asked that very question. One major investment advisor answered, the market is underplaying the likelihood of deeper cuts, Lori Heinel, State Street's Boston-based chief investment officer, said in an interview. There's a lot to suggest that this is still a very fragile recovery, despite the fact it continues to look resilient on the surface. Now, I don't think the market is underplaying anything. Instead, I believe what most people are interpreting about the behavior of the market right now is basically all wrong. Essentially, as we keep saying here on this channel, after interest rates make a big move lower, they tend to go sideways to higher. And as they're going sideways to higher for several months, as is usual with the pattern, people are interpreting that as, oh, the market is rethinking last year's rally and now starting to believe that inflation pressures are indeed creeping up and that central banks are indeed becoming more hawkish and therefore higher rates are more appropriate for the rest of this year. When the markets are really saying nothing has changed from the rally last year. Instead, it's just consistent with this historical pattern, waiting for the next leg lower in interest rates. And as other banks are starting to lower their rates too in the deposit and other services that they offer, that's a key critical clue that the market is indeed still thinking in the same direction. If you look at where the marketplace is today, it's basically where it's been all along. Now, rates have been higher since the payroll report on Friday. The 10-year got up into the 440s. But as I'm speaking to you right now, the 10-year's right back at 436 again, which is right around the same place it's been, the same level it's been, since the middle of February. We're talking about 8 weeks and counting, with some pretty remarkable stability in the marketplace, the Treasury marketplace, and really the global rates marketplace, despite everything that supposedly is happening that should be interest rate negative. We got oil prices driving consumer price expectations, therefore hawkish Fed members. How can interest rates be doing anything other than rising precipitously? But they're not. They're hanging in there, which again tells us something important about what the marketplace is thinking in terms of all of these major topics and questions. Is the economy actually as strong as it might appear? Are interest rates likely to be higher for longer? The answer appears to be no. And as far as oil prices are concerned, the marketplace is also giving us a crucial signal about those too. In the TIPS marketplace, the inflation break-even rates in the short run, the shorter run break-even rates have been much higher recently. In fact, the 10-year break-even just hit 247 basis points as of yesterday, which was as highest since the middle of October, which if you remember is the last time we went through this with oil prices. But what's different this time around versus October is that the 10-year break-even and really longer-term inflation expectations have not gone up nearly as far. In fact, as of yesterday, the 10-year break-even was just 238 basis points, which means it was the most inverted to the 5-year since last April. And what that's saying is that the market expects that crude oil is going to have some impact in the short run on consumer price numbers, the CPI, because the CPI is what pays out in tips. But the short-run CPI, whatever impact from crude oil, is not expected to last. Just like last year, just like 2022, and just like every other oil shock case that we've gone over just recently. Whenever oil prices go up, that's bad for the economy and ultimately disinflationary, because disinflation isn't good news, actually. So what the tips market is saying is that, yes, crude oil prices are going to have a short-run impact, but then that's not an inflationary one over the intermediate and longer term. And we can see that also in the five-year forward rate, which still is sticking around 220 to 230 basis points, which is a level that's much closer to the latter half of the 2010s than it is to the first half of that decade when everybody was still thinking that there would be an actual recovery in the U.S. economy. In fact, it's not really that far off the pre-2008 levels. It's just a little bit below. So basically, long-run inflation expectations remain anchored because in the short run, oil prices are going to have their impact over the next month or two on consumer prices, but it's not going to go beyond that. In fact, it's going to lead to more destruction, demand destruction in the real economy. And that's priced into these interest rate markets. And I'll add one more, too. I want to mention China's interest rate market, its government bond market, too, because rates are moving lower there as well. The 10-year Chinese central government bond had hit a multi-decade low in the early part of March, and then it kind of rebounded with some more positive sentiment about maybe the government going to introduce a sufficient stimulus this time. But ever since around the middle part of March, as China's yuan has been moving lower, the bond yield has also been moving lower too. The 5 year down to 2.15% and China's 2 year at 1.83%. So interest rates are moving decisively lower in China. And since this is a globally synchronized system and China is an important part of it in terms of the economy, as well as we well know, financial risks and financial dangers in 2024, those are not getting any better. So lower interest rates in China, the U.S. Treasury market sort of hanging in there. Tips market saying, yeah, oil prices in the short run. It gets us back to the original question here. Rates are likely to be heading lower everywhere because the situation is not soft landing, no landing. Now, some people have said, okay, we hear the market, we see what the market's pricing, and even if we accept my interpretation of the market, we just believe the markets are flat out wrong. In fact, one commentator just recently on a Twitter Spaces I did called the bond market dumb money. And he's not the only one. Others have begun to question the yield curve's predictive power. Has it lost its touch? Because when you look around the U.S. economy, again, this narrative that the U.S. economy is fine, and the further narrative that inflation pressures are rising because the U.S. economy is fine, not that there's an agenda here or anything, right? But essentially they're saying because the U.S. economy seems to be strong and resilient, the yield curve must have gotten this all completely wrong. Reuters asked the question in early March. A key indicator of oncoming recession implied by the U.S. bond market is no longer reliable, according to nearly two-thirds of the strategists polled by Reuters. A persistent negative spread between two-year and 10-year U.S. Treasury yields is a key input into many analyst models as a reliable predictor of recession, having occurred in the lead-up to nearly all of them since 1955. It offered a false signal just once during that time, at least according to their definitions. The yield curve has been inverted for more than 20 months now, and now 21, currently by 46 basis points, but most of the recent discussion in markets has been about the probability of no recession or even a risk of reacceleration in economic growth. But as I said, that's not what the markets are talking about. That's what the media is talking about. The media is selling a robust economy with inflationary pressures that are rising because the economy is robust, when the marketplace is saying, and the bond rally, what drove the bond rally last year, is still driving interest rates today. And rates are going to continue to go lower because inflation is not a risk. And instead, as State Street said, fragility is the primary risk. And oil prices actually raise the danger to the fragile economy. They impose too much demand destruction on a system that can't really afford it. But what you can afford is Eurodollar University subscriptions and memberships. The spring sale is still going on for a couple more days. We've got 1 month for free on us. Try it out, 30 days, cancel anytime, no risk to you, to see what the membership and the daily briefing's all about. We've also got tremendous savings on the annual rates for both of those. The deep dive analysis, where we go far deeper on all of these topics than we can do here on YouTube. There's a huge savings on that one as well, one low price, and a really good price when you bundle all three of those together, the daily deep dive analysis, the daily briefing, and Eurodollar University membership. Spring sale, a couple more days. Check out our website for all the information. It's eurodollar.university. Part of this perception about the direction of interest rates, or really inflation expectations, that are being set by policymakers' perceptions about interest rates and what they're going to do with them comes from, again, I think, overstating the case being made by several of these policymakers, including a well-known hawk, Neil Kashkari from Minnesota, or Minneapolis branch of the Federal Reserve. He was just recently in the media said to have said that he doesn't see any interest rate cuts or any need for interest rate cuts this year at all. But that's not exactly what he said. He said, in March, I had jotted down two rate cuts this year if inflation continues to fall back towards our 2% target. If we continue to see inflation moving sideways, then that would make me question whether we needed to do those rate cuts at all. So basically, he was saying if consumer prices behave the way we expect, then yes, there'll be some rate cuts consistent with what the market is. But people have overhyped the statement where he said, well, if inflation comes back up, what they're saying is we see oil prices going up and that's going to raise consumer price index numbers. Therefore, it must be going to lead cash carry to not want any rate cuts at all this year. But he also said in early March, if we have a run rate that's very attractive, people have jobs, businesses are doing well, inflation is coming back down, why would we do anything anyway? In other words, and this is the question we keep coming back to all the time, if the economy is in a disinflationary, no landing scenario, then why would anyone anywhere be doing any cuts? Now, most central bankers would answer that if the disinflation is robust and it continues to move in that direction, that will mean real interest rates are rising maybe a little bit too far than they want to, because they put a lot of emphasis on real rates. And real rates are nothing more than the nominal rate that they set in their policy benchmarks minus the consumer price estimate for whatever month. So if real rates are rising because disinflation, meaning consumer price increases, are slowing down, then they might want to cut just to make sure that their interest rate policies aren't too restrictive. But the question Kashkari just asked, in March still stands. Why do anything if you've got disinflation and an economy that's actually booming? And the answer is that central bankers, including himself, know that the economy is, to put it in the words of State Street, fragile. That there is a tremendous risk, a higher risk than what's being appreciated for non-linearity in the labor market, as well as the negative impacts from not just oil prices, but potential spillover from Europe, the European economy that's accelerating further into recession. Whatever is going to happen in China, there are all sorts of global economic risks. We also see that fragility in our own economy here. For every establishment survey payroll number that's good, there's also the household survey and the ISM and the JOLTS numbers, not job openings, that show that the U.S. labor market is in much more difficult shape, troubling shape, than the establishment survey says. For every GDP number that comes out really good, there's a whole bunch of others that suggest people are feeling the economy and the effects of a negative economy all over the place. We got a reminder just today on that account from the NFIB. It's Small Business Optimism Outlook Survey, which needs to be changed to a pessimism survey. The number came in at 88.5, which was unexpectedly down from 89.4 in February. What analysts were thinking is that it would rise up to 90.2. But at 88.5 for March, that's the lowest since December of 2012, over a decade. That's lower than any point during 2020. And what that says is that business owners, small business owners, are not seeing this robust economy that maybe a few large corporations are experiencing, but hardly anyone else is. Where do you think the hiring freeze and all of the hours cutting is coming from? It's coming largely from smaller and medium-sized businesses that are struggling under the weight of consumer price pressures that are left over from last year, the imbalances of the last couple of years, as well as, more than anything, prospects for lower sales, lower revenues, as the nominal economy keeps slowing down. In fact, that was one of the things that was cited in the NFIB's March report. The net percent of owners who are expecting real sales to be higher actually decreased 8 points in March alone to a net negative 18%. That's not a good indication whatsoever. Furthermore, where it comes to the labor market, more bad news there. Only a net 11% are planning to create new jobs over the next 3 months, which is the lowest level for the survey since May 2020. Again, the economy seems to be in much worse shape than some of the major statistics suggest. And one that people do watch, the unemployment rate, has actually gone up substantially already. It's about 0.4% higher than it was early last year at the low point. As I talked about yesterday, there is a reason gold prices are surging to an all-time high, and it is not inflation. Instead, what's driving gold is safe haven demand, fragile economy, especially around the rest of the world, as well as expectations that interest rates are going to be lower because opportunity cost of holding gold is interest rates. And that's just what the marketplace is saying. That's what some banks are already doing. Some central banks have been doing too. Swiss National Bank just recently. Rates are going lower. So the question we have to ask is why that is. Gold going higher, rates going lower, safe haven demand. It does not sound like a soft landing or at all like a no landing scenario. The yield curve never lost its touch. It's been telling us all along that interest rates were, on balance, far more likely to be lower than to stick around where central banks had pushed them to. I talked about the real impact of a crude oil price spike on the real economy and not just the temporary effect on consumer prices. That's the video I've got linked below. Check out Eurodollar University Spring Sale, a couple days left for that. As always, thank you for joining me. Huge thank you, Eurodollar University members and subscribers, including all the new members and subscribers. Until next time, take care.